am Caroline, a yoga teacher with a special interest in menopause based in Edinburgh.
And hi, I'm Dr. Clara, GP, with a special interest in menopause based in North London.
Together we are the Menopause Sisters and we are here to guide and support you through your menopause journey. Welcome to the Menopause Sisters Show with myself, Caroline, and my sister, Dr. Claire. And we're really excited today to welcome Petra Coveney, who is the founder and creator of Menopause Yoga. And she's also a senior teacher and trainer for the British Wheel of Yoga and Yoga Alliance Professionals, and has been a member of the British Menopause Society for Health Practitioners since 2017. You're down on the coast there, aren't you, Petra? A beautiful part of the world. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me here. Yes, I'm speaking to you from my home in Brighton by the sea. And one of the reasons, which is relevant to the conversation today, one of the reasons I moved from London to Brighton was because in my post-menopause, like so many middle-aged women, I love sea swimming. It's, you know, we go down there on the beach in the morning. It's a wonderful community, very kind of casual community of people, women down on the beach. All almost kind of like menopausally sizzling, going, no, I'm not hot anymore. I'm in the sea. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I moved down here. Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Is it a specific group that you swim with and go out with?
Oh, if I mention them by name, you're going to laugh. It's a big group of women called the Salty Seabirds.
Brilliant. I always have to ask the name, because there are so many different groups around the coast of Britain with great names. So the Salty Seabirds, wonderful.
Yeah, and what's lovely is that the community, I mean, it's very casual. They just say, oh, who's coming down? I'll come. And over the time that I've been here, which is only a year and a half, I've been welcomed into this community, welcomed, if you like, into the bosom of the local women. And I've made really good friends who we now meet outside and do things like go to the cinema and yoga events and all kinds of things, go for dinner. So it's just another reminder about the wonderful supportiveness of women creating community.
Wonderful. Almost like a women's circle in the sea. I like to think of that.
That's a lovely idea.
So we met on your wonderful training that I took in, 2020. Seems like a long time ago now. I wanted to begin, actually, if I can, by maybe exploring how you came to develop the menopause yoga course, and, you know, maybe starting with how you found that yoga was helping you through your perimenopause and postmenopause.
So thank you. And it's very relevant that we've got Dr. Claire here, because I'm sure she'll be nodding when I mention a few things here about the National Health Service as it was way back when I was going into my perimenopause. So I'm now about, I lose track of how many years, and I'm 7 years into my postmenopause. But I went into my perimenopause a bit earlier. So none of my friends, my older sister, nobody else around me in my peer group was going through this stage in life. So I had no reference point. The word perimenopause wasn't even a common term like it is now. Nobody knew what it meant. In actual fact, I doubt whether many of the GPs in the local surgery knew what perimenopause was. And so when I turned up and said, oh, can I have a blood test? I'm getting some hot flushes. I think I might be in the menopause. They obliged and did a blood test and said, yes, you are. Bye-bye. And I said at that point, well, hold on, I've got all these different symptoms. I don't know if they're related to these hormone changes, but I'm really struggling with my sleep. It's not just hot flushes, you know, anxiety, night sweats, brain fog, irritability, all these other things that they and I hadn't recognized as being connected to the menopause, even problems with digestion, digestive tract issues. And then later I had terrible frozen shoulder requiring injections that just didn't work. And I was actually on crutches for nearly a year because I had lower back pain. And 3 MRI scans just couldn't find the reason. They sent me to a pain clinic, and the person I saw said, you know, this is emotional. This is emotional pain. I was like, oh, really? And they said, are you feeling a bit depressed? And I said, well, I'm in a lot of pain. That's making me a bit depressed. But they still sent me on my way. So that's a long explanation. Because when I spoke to my GP, I said, look, I want to handle this myself. I don't particularly want to take HRT, because in those days it was seen as very high risk of breast cancer. But I do need some support. Like, can I speak to anyone about nutrition or natural remedies, herbal remedies, exercise? And could I please just speak to some other women? Is there a women's group, some people I can just talk to? Because nobody in my peer group is going through this. And the answer was no. In fact, when I suggested setting up a women's group and hosting it in the GP surgery, they said no. So we've come a long, long way since then. That was many years ago. But it meant that I am an ex-journalist, and I kind of took that thinking, that research mind of I'm going to find out the facts for myself. So, and I was quite outraged, if you know what I mean. I felt outraged that there was nothing there for women like me. So that spurred me on. It kind of gave me a drive and ambition to do this research. So I read as many books as I could find. Back in those days, we didn't have the social media networks that we have now. So women weren't sharing information on social media. But I did research. I looked at what was happening in other countries, what was being offered. And I pieced together bit by bit, like a jigsaw, a kind of content for running workshops for women going through the menopause. And I have to imagine that at this time, none of this was being done anywhere else in the UK or wasn't being talked about. If it was happening, it wasn't publicly being shared. So I pieced it together and then I said, OK, well, I am a part time yoga teacher, as well as having my main job and being a mum. I'm going to share this. So I started sharing it in very small workshops initially. And again, it was very hard because I combined Western medical science because I wanted to know what's happening to my body. Why is this happening? What are the causes? And then I combined that with yoga and breath work and meditation, natural remedies, nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. And so using my own personal experience, bringing it holistically together. But the problem was, Caroline and Claire, that I faced resistance from both sides. In fact, from three sides. So, you know, from the medical profession, they said, yoga? Well-being? No, we're just medical science. And then from the yoga side, the yoga studios, no, you're bringing in doctors. We're not about doctors and HRT. And then from women themselves, they would say, we don't want to talk about the menopause. Don't say that word. Can't you call it hormone balance or well women? And it did take a couple of years of running these little small workshops until I just said, do you know what? I'm going to be out and I'm going to be proud and I'm going to call it what it is. And so I called it menopause yoga. And because I felt that part of the problem behind women's experience of the menopause was the taboo, the talking taboo. So that's how it all came about originally, Caroline. Thanks, Claire.
It's such a wonderful story because actually, like you were saying, you're just trying to bring everything together. But at that point, you know, there was so much resistance, as there still is in many circles. But I feel like we've probably come a long way, Petra, from that time that you were struggling.
Definitely. I mean, look here, you know, you are embodying the new world, you know, a menopause doctor and a health and well-being expert in menopause. You're, you know, combining these two. You are the holistic package, and it's something to be so celebrated. Nowadays, I think, as you know, I actually started running workshops out of Dr. Louise Newson's Menopause Centre in Stratford-upon-Avon. It was a long way for me to travel from London at the time, but that was the only medical centre that would allow me to teach menopause yoga. So I ran workshops when she launched in 2017. And I also launched the teacher training course for more menopause yoga teachers. I did that at Dr. Louise Newson's Menopause Center. So I was so grateful to have found a pioneering doctor who specialized in menopause, but also saw the value of yoga, well-being, nutrition, etc. And so here we are. Isn't it wonderful?
Pretty incredible to think, actually, it was only a few years ago. I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, a couple of years, 2-3 years, really, you know, the ideas and the thought processes have shifted so much from being something that is non-individualized. Let's not, like, from the Western medicine point of view, let's not think about how we could help someone with nutrition and diet and lifestyle. And let's, like you say, vice versa, we don't want the Western medicine, we don't want that treatment. And actually, that is a massive paradigm shift, really, isn't it? That is something to be hugely celebrated. And you're pioneering in that respect, aren't you? And
I was pioneering from the well-being aspect and being absolutely determined that women should have access to this medical knowledge. I mean, that's why I attended, just so you know, I attended British Menopause Society workshops before I became a full member for a couple of years before that. And I would sneak in because I was thirsty, hungry for the knowledge. And it didn't seem right to me that we as women were being sort of deprived of that basic knowledge, fundamental knowledge about our bodies. But, you know, Dr. Claire, you'll understand how radical, as you said, that this all is nowadays, because the access that women now have to information about their hormones and what the menopause is and what's happening, that in itself is an educational revolution. But yeah, so in the early days, I'd sneak in and I'd be like the little yoga teacher at the back, you know, I felt like a complete imposter. But isn't it wonderful now how, in fact, this is a really important point, I think, you know, sharing this with both of you, is that the medical profession, not just around menopause, but the medical profession now looks at more holistic care for people around anxiety and stress and many other illnesses, doesn't it?
It does. And I know Claire's, you know, Claire likes to work holistically, but we were talking earlier and, you know, I do a lot of work around long COVID, and I had a session today, Monday afternoon, second session with this particular group. And there's a team of us that work with a group of 12 as an NLP practitioner, as a personal trainer, building strength. And I'm the yoga element, very much focusing on breathing and rest and relaxation. And there's a doctor in the group, and she said, "Can I just say that this is life-changing?" And it was really interesting because how she was wording it was, she said, it's more the holistic approach. And she said, it's what it's making me realize as a doctor is my lack of knowledge of these things that can be really helpful. Mm. And it was lovely. And I said to her, thank you for sharing that, because just like menopause, we know there are other things that can help out with something the medical profession can offer women, but it's making sure these things are shown to women, you know, so that there's accessibility, and doctors know about them. But Claire, you spend a lot of time talking to women about sort of health and CBT, don't you, as well?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting in the medical profession at the moment, because there is a slight shift in pathways in terms of how we should manage conditions. There's a lot more emphasis on a holistic approach, but it does require doctors to sort of wear two hats and be very open to that knowledge. And it's not something that is routinely taught about in medical schools. I mean, you've got vast amounts of stuff to learn, you just need to learn the facts, and then hopefully at a later point you become more interested in it. But it's not something that is routinely talked about or offered. And I think you've just, like the doctor in your group, Caroline, you just need to be a bit more aware of it, because we know so much more about disease and disease processes now. And I know, you know, the menopause isn't a disease, it's a long-term condition, But we know that it's not just all about the hormones. We know that it's so much bigger than that. And that, I think that's the case with most illnesses and long-term conditions, to be perfectly honest. But
that's incredibly relevant to this conversation, because I know, and Caroline will know, that we'll teach a normal yoga class, and pretty much every single class you teach for the public, that's for men and women, you'll have someone come up to you and say, oh, my doctor recommended I come to see you. I've had back pain or back surgery or knee surgery or shot. They come with these, it's basically they're sort of expecting us to be physiotherapists. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit frustrating for us as yoga teachers, for the general public, because the doctors just said, oh, go and do yoga, almost as if they want them to be off their books because it's taking up time and resources. They've heard that yoga is helpful, so go off and do some yoga. But these poor patients are going, well, what kind of yoga? So I've had people coming into my hot yoga classes or Ashtanga classes expecting to be healed for a prolapsed disc, you know, and you look at them and think, this is not the right place for you. And that's actually very true of the menopause. So even though we've made huge progress and in terms of medical science, well-being profession uniting in a holistic way, at least we are now recognizing and talking to each other. But doctors are now sending women to me and in my workshop saying, well, you're in the menopause, go and do yoga. I've heard it's very good. And yet, well, what kind of yoga? And these women have got different kinds of symptoms. Mm-hmm. So they might have a frozen shoulder or that lower back pain, or they might have osteopenia or even osteoporosis. They may have anxiety and overwhelm. And as Caroline knows, you know, trauma can be very present at this stage of life as well. So I'm really hoping that through this conversation with you two and us all talking more about this, that the medical profession and the yoga profession can see that one size doesn't fit all, that one style of yoga isn't going to be of therapeutic benefit to everyone.
Absolutely.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
B-Cure Laser.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
I'd love to talk a little bit more, Petra, about the course that you developed as well, because obviously it's a real mix of styles of yoga, and that's what I absolutely loved about your course. You know, that the hatha, the yin, the restorative, but it's also very true to yoga. And by that, I mean, it really honours the ancient yogic roots. You know, you use the mantra there, the true breath work is there. And for me, having come from a Yoga Scotland course, you know, the 500 hours, it really reflected that as well for me. And that's when I really was drawn to it, because obviously you based it a little bit around the Ayurvedic principles. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that and how it developed.
So as I said, it did develop from my own experience. I had to start somewhere. And there was because I was a qualified yoga teacher and practicing it as well as having a a job, you know, running a team, as well as juggling my family life at home. And hey, presto, guess what? Perimenopause, burnt out. You know, that's just too much going on with all those symptoms. And I didn't have HRT at that time because it just wasn't being given out. So it has come from my own experiences, trial and error, and it has also come from the experience of over 10 years. It's been a decade of officially teaching menopause yoga in workshops and classes. And every single time I ran a class or ran a workshop, I would get feedback forms and I'd ask people to give me the feedback. And I learned, I listened and I learned, because the problem was there were no books out there that gave me the knowledge that I felt I needed. So menopause yoga is based on true Hatha yoga tradition and Ayurveda, and also traditional Chinese medicine. So it's drawing in influences from these different modalities. What I'd noticed was that one size, as I said, doesn't fit all, and that's true of the yoga practice. One of the things that we now talk about in relation to menopause and the medical profession, so the NICE guidelines that Dr. Claire knows, in fact, you both know, the NICE guidelines will say to GPs, each woman's experience of the menopause is unique and individualized. So she needs individualized support and care. The same is true in yoga. Mm-hmm. So Caroline, you were talking about tuning in to your body and what your body is needing, or, you know, at right now. And that is going to change over time. So the menopause can be 5, 10, 15 or more years. So what your body is saying that you need now isn't going to be the same. So creating that individual woman's connection with herself through breathing, through meditation, by reducing stress so that she can, as you said, tune in. We call it interoception. Interoception, that ability to sense into how your body feels. That really is essential, because we can give her information about HRT, antidepressants, anti-inflammatories, nutrition, natural remedies, yoga, but she needs to know what it is that she needs. She needs to tune into herself, because the doctors, they can't see into what's happening into a woman at this stage of life, because, as we know, the menopause isn't just a decline in your hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. That hormonal change on a cellular level is affecting her brain. Mm. It's affecting her emotions. It's affecting every part of her sense of herself. So it's a psychological and emotional journey as well as a physical one. But every woman is very different. So that's, I think, one of the fundamental benefits that we can give women through menopause yoga, that ability, that time to connect with themselves and learn to listen.
Yeah, listening to, I often say in classes, listening to your body's whispers, you know, what's your body whispering to you and telling you? And it can take time to tune in and listen, can't it, Petra? But actually, sometimes it's just a feeling of being supported and held in a class. You know, and I think a lot of women have said to me, and I'm sure you've heard that many times, is quite recently two women came up to me, they're new to the class, and they just said, oh, this is exactly what I needed. This is just, you know, I just needed a space to be with other women going through something similar that I just felt safe in. And I think for that, and what you've created is incredibly special, because that women's circle is very sacred.
Thank you. So you can see, thank you so much for saying that, Caroline. And I know that Dr. Claire has given talks in some of my workshops, and she's been a part of that initial Women's Circle discussion. And yes, just women coming together. That was one of the things that I most needed. So yes, the Women's Circle, that being able to connect with each other is really important. And, you know, I was saying about getting feedback from women in my early workshops. One thing that used to bring me to tears was that these women would write down on these feedback forms, "Thank you. I felt lost and alone. I thought I was going insane. Being in this workshop made me realize I'm not mad and that this is natural and normal." And yeah, that would bring me to tears, because that is actually how I felt when I was going through perimenopause. So seeing women really smile and laugh. That's a lot of what we do in the workshops. We talk about symptoms, but we also laugh. You know, and if I can say these words on your radio program, you know, we'll talk about the wobbly bits, the hot bits, and the sweaty bits, and vaginal dryness. And even saying those words out loud and having those discussions, you see this sort of light bulb moments of women in the room. And I think they feel like they've got permission to talk about it.
That's exactly it. Having been in the workshops with you, Petra, it's allowing women to have that permission, isn't it? And often when we open the floor up and say, you know, questions, there's sort of a tentative pause, really. And someone might ask a question, and then quickly it just allows other women to ask, doesn't it? And suddenly everyone's got questions, and it's a nice discussion. It's not sort of a, you know, question answer. It's a discussion. What's worked for you? What hasn't worked? What have your friends tried? And that I think is also a really amazing benefit of a woman's circle in that respect, because actually it doesn't all have to be medical, does it? These remedies, these treatments, whatever you call it, whether or not it's a yoga philosophy behind it or whether or not it's a Western philosophy, women's experiences, like you say, are different, and different things work for different women. And it's very enlightening to be in that arena and to hear what actually women are going through, because I sometimes take it for granted, less so now, but I sometimes take it for granted that this is all, I know this. You know, there's lots I don't know, and there's still a lot of learning in terms of perimenopause and menopause. But for many women, this, like you say, is still a term they've not heard. And so actually coming together in those groups that you run can be empowering, actually.
That is the perfect word, Claire, empowerment, because one of the mantras of menopause yoga from the start has been educate, empower, embrace. So educating women, but not in a patronizing way, just sharing factual information. So educating in order to empower women. So when women have this information, they can make their own informed choices about how to support themselves holistically. And then I offer a positive perspective of the menopause, which I hope will encourage them to embrace it as an opportunity, not as a completely negative time and end of their lives, which is what many women often will say. They feel like they're becoming lacking in value, losing attraction, losing their sense of themselves. Because they've been so associated, they've associated themselves with their physical appearance or their procreativity. And they fear that they're no longer going to be valued and they're going to become invisible, which is, you know, quite often actually true due to our society. So I offer a different perspective, and I say, well, look, this is an opportunity on a basic level for you to pause. I know it sounds like a cliche, but menopause, hold on to that pause bit and say, pause, reflect on what your past life has been, reflect on how you're living your life now, and is it really serving you? You know, are you finding all this juggling work and maybe family and other responsibilities? You know, is it just too much right now? Or are there things that you're doing in terms of your health and well-being, such as drinking a lot of alcohol or caffeine or foods that aren't healthy for you, not getting sleep. Are these things worth taking with you into this next stage of your life? Then I offer them the perspective of, what if you were to use this pause to let go of what you no longer need, let go of what no longer is serving you, supporting you, and then look to the future. And this is where I draw in the traditional Chinese medicine. And when I was going through my menopause, I had a light bulb moment when I read a book by a traditional Chinese medicine expert. She wrote a beautiful book. So if anyone hasn't seen it, it's called Reflections of Moon on Water. And I'm actually a very small part Chinese from my mother's side. So I felt a natural affinity to this book. And in there, she describes the different stages of a woman's life. And she describes, using traditional Chinese medicine, postmenopause as second spring, time of rebirth, renewal, but not like puberty, which is your first spring. She was saying, no, you step into your second spring as this empowered and educated woman. You know, you're not a young girl anymore. And so you've got more confidence and a sense of yourself. They have another phrase, not just second spring. They say it's a time of stepping into your wholeness, where your body becomes your own for yourself. Your hormones become more balanced. And you can start to live this later part of your life, completing any of your dreams or ambitions that maybe you haven't had the chance to spend time on. So I know that's a long phrase, but you were talking about empowerment. And I think even just offering that perspective can feel empowering and uplifting.
We talk a lot about the positive side of, you know, perimenopause, postmenopause, this transition. And it's almost like you need to, you know, put all the steps in, don't you? And just begin to transition with kindness towards yourself. So just as you were saying, Petra, that sense of, you know, letting go of anything that no longer serves you, if that's possible, and moving forwards into the second spring. It's such a beautiful term that I do really love it. I think for us, it's as well, you know, that positivity is really, really helpful. And we realize and acknowledge it's going to be so hard for many women who are suffering from low mood and depression and overwhelm. There's even a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. It's finding that and trying to almost flip it on its head and say, this can be a positive transition.
I love that idea though, Petra, of pausing and just reflecting, because we rarely do that in life. And this seems like the ideal time to really sit down and consider and make that second half better or improve whatever it is that's going on, but also just to reflect and take stock. I think that's a lovely way of thinking of things, actually.
It works so well. So Caroline was just saying, you know, sometimes people will come to her classes and just lie down, relax, breathe, and they go, oh, thank you so much for what we call it, holding space for women to simply be, breathe, pause. And that's why in menopause yoga, there are different styles and techniques that we use for the different classes, which are grouped around groups of symptoms. But in every single one of those different classes, there's always at least 15 minutes of restorative yoga. And restorative really being, well, it's to restore energy, but as Caroline was saying, sometimes it's just that feeling of being supported by yoga props, blankets, cushions, bolsters, because then you feel supported. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious to ask you, Dr. Claire, about back issues. So when I was having my back problem, when I was on crutches and they couldn't figure out what the problem was, the pain specialist I went to said lower back pain was often a symptom of feeling unsupported. Then they would consider looking at it from an emotional perspective. Is that something that rings a bell with you at all?
You know, it applies to many different areas of pain in the body. when we can't always isolate a cause, we have to look at other reasons. And obviously what we want to do first and foremost as medics is to make sure that there's nothing physically, anatomically wrong. And if there's not, then we have to look further. We have, I think we are really acutely aware of just how emotional pain, trauma, psychological pain, just pain that isn't physical, that can manifest as a physical pain, if that makes sense. And that can be top to toe. And I think we need to move away from always, I mean, you yourself, you went to a pain clinic, you were referred to a pain clinic. I mean, let's throw more pain medications at this person who's suffering emotionally and psychologically. And actually that doesn't, we know that doesn't work. We know that doesn't work. And so, yeah, thinking about that from a psychological perspective and how we are all intertwined and how our emotional needs can affect our pain levels. But that's a very, very difficult concept for many people. And that's not to diminish that in any way, but it's a new thought process for many people. And thinking about pain in a holistic way is a very novel way of thinking about pain.
It's like a pain cycle and getting stuck in the cycle of that pain, isn't it? Because you begin to focus on it, and that in itself can make the pain worse. You may be a bit less active if it, you know, if it's lower back pain, you might lose some, you know, fitness, or you know, become a little weaker. It can begin to disrupt sleep, how you eat, how you just react with the outside world and other people. You might get a low mood with this. There's so many different things around that, which I think within a pain cycle as well, that could be a tribute, you know, you can then attribute that to different menopausal symptoms, can't you? You know, if you're worried about a hot flush coming on in the middle of a work meeting, that anxiety begins to rise, that stress begins to rise. We're likely to then have a hot flush if that's one of your symptoms. And so you get into these cycles around a variety of symptoms in the menopause. And as Clara said, other potential diagnoses. And I think it is quite a new concept, isn't it, of breaking that cycle of thought, psychological.
It's so interesting you say it's a new concept, but it's only a new concept in Western medical science. In traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, they call it dis-ease. Mm-hmm. They look at, you know, your sense of equilibrium, whatever that means for you in your own body. And if it's out of equilibrium, they call that dis-ease. And then they see that illness can become present as a result of that change in your equilibrium. But you're so right, Caroline. You know, one of the biggest issues that people say to me, why are women talking more about menopause? Why are they struggling more? Well, number one, they were always struggling. You can, you know, go back into medieval history and find evidence of writing about women and talking about hot flushes. So it's not a new thing, but it has been a taboo, less talked about. But one of the reasons why I believe women are also experiencing and talking about the menopause and their symptoms more is just simply our levels of stress. So, you know, Dr. Claire will know, and also you, Caroline, in all of your yoga classes, we are seeing more people experiencing stress and anxiety coming into our classes or into your clinic. And that's because the modern world, everything is going too fast for us as human beings to catch up with emotionally, psychologically. And the whole digital age, as I'm sure you've talked about before in your program, you know, being constantly digitally connected, never really getting a break or a pause from that. Issues around us, especially the issues over the last couple of years, that external environment of stress and anxiety is going to impact a woman's fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen repeatedly is women who are experiencing that high level of fight or flight, experiencing higher levels of cortisol and adrenaline, which are then either keeping her up at night or preventing her from sleeping. Exhaustion the next day, that adrenal fatigue. As Caroline already mentioned, the hot flushes. So you have the sort of anxious feelings, and that can trigger a hot flush. So it's so interconnected. And I think, yeah, we're all becoming aware, aren't we, Dr. Claire, of higher levels of stress in all of your patients.
Yeah, and it's we expect more from ourselves and we expect more from others, and that's become the norm, hasn't it? And in a way, we need to reverse that. And that's why I love that idea of pausing, because that sort of self-perpetuating cycle of stress and juggling and I've got to be here, I've got to be there, I've got to be looking after this person will exacerbate perimenopause or menopausal symptoms. And Petra, you and I were talking about this, weren't we? Why is it being talked about so much more? Why are we experiencing symptoms differently than perhaps we might have done a few years ago? And one of the things we were talking about is actually we're all having to work longer. We're all having to manage our symptoms longer. We're living longer. So we're menopausal for a lot longer. So we have to manage these symptoms if we're going to live well.
And we'll often find, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, that women who've potentially had children older in life, so older than previous generations, so maybe having children in their 40s, are going to give birth. And then the drop in their hormones, that postnatal drop in hormones, can trigger a depression, which actually can also trigger menopause. And so they're very confused. They've got young children, which we associate with fertility, and yet they're suddenly plunged into menopause, the end of their reproduction. So it gets very complicated. Another thing I've noticed from the number of women I've trained and taught over the years is the connection between grief and menopausal symptoms. So we've already talked about stress, but grief, if a person experiences the loss of parents and, of course, you know, elderly parents getting very ill and infirm or other grief or loss in their lives at that time. And that can be the loss of a marriage. Mm. It can be the loss of a career, because menopausal symptoms can also lead women to leave their jobs. A loss of the sense of self. And this kind of grief can, I don't know whether it triggers some of the menopause symptoms or whether it just exacerbates them, but that's a really fascinating thing that I've observed. Does that ring true at all for you, Caroline? Have you seen
it? Does actually. And, you know, we've talked about trauma, haven't we? You know, anything that has changed your life in some way and made it quite dramatically different, it's not always, we often think of trauma as, you know, something absolutely horrific, but it doesn't always have to be. It's something that changes your way of life or how you've lived your life previously dramatically. And that could be, you know, a loss of a parent. It could be the loss of a job. And that in itself increases stress in the body. And, you know, you either get stuck on that high side of stress, where you are in that fright and flight mode, or you're really quite low down and in the parasympathetic nervous system, I should say, and you get quite low mood and depressed. And so suddenly you're realizing that hormones aren't just your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone. You know, you've got your adrenaline and cortisol, and this is all beginning to find this kind of interlinked effect. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it has a huge influence on all hormones. So yeah, I can absolutely agree that, you know, grief and anything that has been upsetting in some way, whether it has been dealt with or not, or happens at this stage in life, is going to perhaps exacerbate symptoms.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now. But did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK
The station that makes you feel good.
One of the things I just wanted to put out there, which I think is really appropriate for your program as well, is that any yoga teacher who is out there who says that they can rebalance your hormones, that is not factually correct. Yoga, there were teachers out there. So remember I said I did lots of research and I looked around the world, and there were certain yoga teachers at certain times in history saying that yoga could bring back your estrogen, could bring back your fertility. And we do know that yoga, by reducing stress, can actually rebalance those levels of cortisol and adrenaline. And that's going to be beneficial for your whole endocrine system. Yeah, that is factual. We do know through scientific medical research trials that using things such as paced breathing and meditation and changing your view of, for instance, hot flushes can reduce not just the severity of the hot flushes, but their frequency as well. We know that there is research. But anyone out there who says that they're going to rebalance your hormones, that is, I think, doing women a disservice. And I just want to put it out there. That's not what I do. I help women to transition. I help them to alleviate or manage some of their symptoms. But yoga is not a replacement for estrogen.
Thank you for naming that, Petra.
It's not HRT, you know, and only HRT, hormone replacement therapy, is going to put estrogen and progesterone and potentially testosterone back in your body. And I'm all in favor of eating phytoestrogen foods, foods which help with your whole nervous system, help with your eyes, your skin, your hair, magnesium for your muscles, calcium for your bones, vitamin D. Yes, I agree with that. But I have not come across anyone who has significantly increased their levels of estrogen just by eating phytoestrogen foods. So again, let's get real here and let's just, you know, not do women a disservice by selling them snake oil. You know, that idea of you go to a, you know, a circus or a fair and you buy a magical remedy, drink this and suddenly, I'm cured. So I hope that lands well with both of you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we need to come away from a lot of those myths around eat well, sleep well, you know, alternative treatments are going to replace your hormones. We know that the only way of doing that is with HRT. And I also accept that that's not for everybody. And that is an individual decision and should always be an individual decision. But yes, I think you're absolutely right in naming that the only way you're going to get that back is by taking it.
And many women are really comfortable with going through that menopausal transition and, you know, experiencing that decline eventually in their postmenopause of those hormones. But we are all so different in our response to that decline in our hormones. And it's going to trigger a lot of things for some people. I know Caroline's at the trauma-informed, and she'll see that for some women who have had that previous experience of trauma, it comes back because of that fight or flight response that we experience in perimenopause. And it can trigger lots of very disturbing memories and thoughts, which may need counselling, professional counselling support. So again, menopause yoga can help women to connect with themselves. We offer pause, space, supportive poses, meditation, the comfort of other women around you going through a similar process. But we are not professionally trained counsellors. And so one of the things I say in the training course is we are there to create safe and supportive spaces. And then we signpost to other professional qualified people, depending on what that individual woman needs.
Petra, I know through your website you can look up or find a menopause yoga teacher nearby, or perhaps one that teaches online. And is that quite easy to do? I was just going to ask you to let us know about your website and how to find a nearby teacher.
Yes, you absolutely can find a directory of qualified menopause yoga teachers. And there are over 300 qualified teachers now, and they are located in about 20 different countries worldwide, which is really exciting. So if anyone would like to find a menopause yoga teacher, they can go to my website, which is menopause-yoga.com. Look in the tab at the top, the navigation tabs for directory, and it should send you to a directory of teachers. And you just click on your location in the world. I haven't got everyone everywhere, but that's the ambition eventually. But hopefully you'll find someone who is at least in your county or your country. So that's what I'm hoping for. And if anyone would like to join me, if anyone listening is a yoga teacher, I run every month, I run a menopause yoga teacher training course. So that's only open to qualified 200-hour yoga teachers. But I've also started offering a menopause awareness course, which is open to anyone working in a physical field with women who are going through the menopause. So that's a one-day course. So I hope that's helpful for everyone. And anyone who wants to read the book, there's also the menopause yoga guide as well.
Which is so in-depth, it covers everything. It's brilliant.
They made me cut 50,000 words out, and I wanted to write more. So in actual fact, this is only the first book. The second book is going to go deep dive into more.
Fantastic.
I hope that you'll be contributors to that. I should mention, by the way, Caroline has actually written an article for the book as well on being trauma-informed. So that was really helpful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Petra, for mentioning that as well. It's been such a delight to connect together, because as you say, we've both worked with you and trained with you individually, and yet we know we've never been in a room together. And even though it's a Zoom room, it's wonderful to see you and your gorgeous dog Alfie being very well behaved behind you.
He's been very well behaved. I think he's sulking slightly because I've ignored him.
So thank you so much for joining us, Petra. Really appreciate your time, and we look forward to hopefully seeing you in person again at some point soon.
Very much hope that too. Thank you for inviting me on. Take care. Bye.